Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well, ready for a big weekend. We have another special edition of The Drive today as we're on location downtown at Skybar. Yeah, we were just talking with some of the guys about some of the history of this building. We won't go into all of that, but, I mean, it's been quite a few places. But it's been Skybar for a while, and we're thrilled to be here. Coach Don Dunn is with us as well. Don, you said it's your first time in.
First time inside. Now, I know some of my family members, and I'm sure all my players have been here.
I would say that's probably a resounding yes. And so Bill and Dan and Coach Don Dunn here at Skybar.
Want to give a shout out to Bud Light. Bud Light's
absolutely
helping.
That's the reason we're here.
Yeah, Bud Light's helping put some of these on location Drive broadcasts together this football season. And yeah, another one where we get to voyage downtown, and it's a big night, big weekend for Skybar here. With Halloween approaching.
Yeah, the first of a couple of huge Halloween costume contests. Dan's been a part of quite a few of these, usually as a judge, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but I've judged a costume contest or two in my day.
Yeah, and the first one coming up tonight, $2,500 Halloween costume contest. So, I mean, this is a big one. The next one, the second one's on Halloween.
Okay.
Which is next Thursday night. Door's going to be opening at 7 with specials from 7 until 9. Trivia from 7 till 9 as well. So, great place to be here on a Friday night. And we're glad to be here this afternoon. Of course, we still can take your phone calls like we usually do on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. We were talking a little bit before we came on the air. I mean, there's a lot going on tonight. I mean, obviously you have the regular season winding down for high school football.
Big upset last night.
Oh, a huge upset last night.
Wow.
As Carver comes back. I believe they were down 28-6,
yes.
And they came back and won 44-35
over
Opelika. Carver has got to be the best team in the state that will not be in the playoffs because this 7A region is so strong.
They have to have a lot of things go right tonight for them to make it. But the guys have done a great job.
Yeah.
And, what a big win.
Oh, you're not kidding. Auburn looking to wrap up a perfect regular season.
Hard to do.
As they've got Dothan tonight. So, I mean, that'll be coming up on Wings 94.3. Meanwhile, Lee Scott, they need some help as well to get into the 3A playoffs. They've got B.B. Comer. They need to win that and then have some help. That coming up on AU 100 this evening. Both games kick at 7 o'clock. And there's college football tonight.
Yep. You got Louisville and Boston College and Boise State at UNLV, which should be a good one.
Do you think the Boise State kid has a real shot? I mean, I just think it's tough to, A, win the running back win the Heisman as a running back, but then also to do it out of that conference.
Yeah.
People are trying to make
from comparisons. Non-power conference.
I think to take nothing away from the season he's having, I think there's a different argument we had about whether or not Travis Hunter, if his team isn't in contention at the end of the season at Colorado, can he make a serious push for the Heisman, being a great player at both sides of the ball? But no, it doesn't seem like I'm skeptical of the Heisman chances. Boise State could absolutely crash the playoff party, though. Like they're in position to be one of the top group of five teams. They're in position to have an argument as an at-large if they finish undefeated. And they're not the automatic qualifier. Navy or Army or somebody else is ahead of Boise State for the fifth conference championship spot.
Yep.
Boise could still make it.
You know, they're six. I'm sorry, they're 5-6-1, and UNLV is 6-1, and they're playing it in Las Vegas. And then the late game we were talking about, Dan, is Rutgers at USC.
Yeah, classic Big Ten matchup between Rutgers and USC, a conference game between these two programs.
Oh, yeah, when those two get together, you know, there's no telling what's going to happen.
Right, and it's deliberately scheduled by Fox, thinking there might be either the Yankees or the Dodgers in the World Series. So you've got
and by chance, yeah, both are for game one tonight.
Game one of the World Series tonight featuring the New York Yankees and the L.A. Dodgers, and that'll be on Fox leading into Rutgers and USC, so a big night of sports on the Fox network.
Yeah, and I believe we've got that on ESPN 106.7. I was mentioning what's going on Wings and AU 100.
We've got
World Series.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure what you meant by that.
Oh, no. We were just talking about the series there. So, I mean, there's a lot going on this evening as well. And then, of course, the full weekend of college football. Can Auburn get off the schneid? Can they break this losing streak? The four-game losing streak is where it is right now before they finally return home in the month of November. It's been a
tough road.
Empty October thus far for Auburn. Auburn doesn't want to go 0 for October.
No. I think we're going to win. Like we were talking, Bill, early, Kentucky has a lot of injuries.
Kentucky really does.
They are devastated. They're very disappointed. Their fans, their coaches have to be. A lot of pressure on Mark Stoops, believe it or not, even though he's the longest tenured coach in the SEC.
Kentucky played against Florida the way I was worried Auburn would play against Missouri. Like, I mean, it wasn't a gradual Kentucky's offense struggled and eventually the defense. Florida had four without Graham Mertz. Florida had four 60-plus yard scoring drives in the first half of that football
Florida
game.
Florida averaged 37 yards per completion.
Yeah,
37 yards per completion.
DJ was only 7-14, and they still nearly put up. I mean, they put up over 40 points. Like, I mean, this is a it was a performance that would have you worried about whether or not the losing is getting to Kentucky, and you're starting to see business decisions, or you're not seeing the same effort you saw at the beginning of the season.
Right.
And Justin Ferguson made a good point about, I mean, this is their last conference home game.
Right.
This is their fourth SEC home game.
They're 0-3 at home in conference.
And they just got beaten like that last week.
Yeah.
I wonder what the crowd looks like at tip-off or at kickoff.
It's going to be in the 38 degrees.
You say tip-off. I mean, that's what Kentucky fans are looking forward
to. That's the Freudian slip.
Yeah.
I wonder what the crowd looks like at kickoff, because it might be, especially with a new coach and a new era of Kentucky basketball.
Sounds like there's a really good Auburn crowd just from some folks that are up there talking about seeing the orange and blue up there.
Right.
I mean, Kentucky's without their top running back. They're without their top defensive back for tomorrow. And a defense that gave up the kind of passing yards they did a week ago without their top DB. It seems like, you know, everything is set. Auburn is in surprisingly good health.
Yeah.
The concern would be, even acknowledging where the game was, the fact that it wasn't in Lexington, it was in Gainesville, if your pass defense looks like that against Florida, Auburn has been better than Florida through the air.
Mm-hmm.
I know Auburn has lost games. But Auburn has been better as a passing offense in major conference games than Florida has. Now, Auburn is not – I mean, you think about the futility of the two scoring offenses, Bill. These are two teams.
Oh, Auburn's – Kentucky
– it's terrible.
Kentucky has not topped 20 in the SEC. Auburn has done it once.
No, and Auburn didn't top 20 against Cal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these are two teams that have both played five major conference opponents, and there has been one – 20-plus point performance.
And 10 opportunities.
And it was 21. Yeah. It was Auburn scoring 21 against Oklahoma in a game they lost. So, I mean, you have not seen nearly enough points. Even when these offenses have done some things right, they have not done enough. I would say it feels like Auburn's offense is closer to a 30-plus point explosion than Kentucky's is.
Now, Kentucky's defense, though, has been very good until last week.
Yeah, no, Kentucky had been very competitive in SEC play until that game against Florida. I mean, they never led Vanderbilt, but that was a one touchdown game at the end. They were, you know, went down to 1 point against Georgia. South Carolina had been, you know, that was a
South Carolina
sort of
went in there and shocked everybody.
Yeah, that was sort of a shock.
That's back when the Kentucky was still pretty highly thought of, and hey, this could be a team that could contend, could possibly win 9 or 10 ball games.
Yeah, and Kentucky does have the accomplishment of having beaten Ole Miss. You know, they've won one of these games. They've closed out one of these games. But I would still, if either of these teams looks a lot better than the other, I would worry about what's going on in the locker room of the team that's trailing.
Right.
Because, you know, maybe this, you know, and Coach, you had the benefit of being on good teams most of your time at Auburn.
Right.
But sometimes the losing can wear on people.
Yep.
And October, end of October, early November is when that might start to happen.
And especially now with the portal and kids wanting to transfer, how many of them want to just say, hey, I'm not risking it. I'm going to go here and make more money next year.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a tough deal.
It really is. Here's one other little thing. As I was looking at the SEC stats, Kentucky is fourth in the SEC in total defense.
Mm-hmm.
But would you part of that is because their offense has been able to keep the ball away from other teams.
Time of possession.
They have done a pretty good job of not letting the opponents have the ball, because Kentucky is 13th in the SEC in defensive yards per play. They give up over 5.5 yards a snap for the season, and that is 13th in the SEC. So that the fact that they are fourth in total defense is a little deceptive.
Yeah.
If you can – you know, when teams have been on the field against them, they've been able to move the ball. And Auburn's been able to move the ball. They just haven't been able to score.
Tell you something else, Coach. When your stats say you're one thing in your last four games, but you were something very different in your last game, you know, you're not sure what to believe.
Right.
Often you got to go. You don't want to blow it out of proportion. But Kentucky was what you saw on the field last Saturday against Florida.
Yeah.
Now they got to make sure they're not that 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Don't let last week beat you this week.
And then it's a trend.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar, where we're coming to you from here on this Friday Drive. And let's get to it. And Brett is up first. Hey, Brett.
We love it.
Hey, Bill. Dan, I hadn't started drinking yet or anything like that, but did I hear you say, use the term 30-point explosion in Auburn in the same sentence?
Neither of these teams have broken 21 in major conference play, and the only time they broke 20 was when Auburn scored 21 against Oklahoma, Brett.
Well, next time you need to throw a flag up before you say something like that, because I'm on a county two-lane highway, and I never thought hit everybody.
You nearly missed the game tonight.
The thing is, though, Brett, I mean, Auburn's much closer to doing that than Kentucky, just because Auburn has bigger plays. And if Kentucky plays Ole like they did last week against Florida, yeah, they might miraculously be able to hit a number like that.
But it's still an Auburn offense that isn't getting enough first downs. They're not converting third down enough.
No.
And they're not scoring enough points.
They're not keeping the ball consistently. They're not being able to put together sustained drives. That's been a big, big problem.
Well, as long as Auburn's playing a team that can put any kind of pressure on our quarterback, we better get a special teams or a defensive touchdown and get set up for a field goal or a touchdown by the defense. I just don't see it happening.
No, I understand. Now, statistically, Brock Vandegrift is much, much worse than Peyton Thorne under pressure. So, but Auburn hadn't been able to put that much pressure on quarterbacks either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Dan, let's talk about something that's good. Tell me what you think about tonight.
You know, so I texted Bill earlier today. A little bit surprised. I think it's an aggressive move by Dave to leave Evan Phillips off the roster for the World Series. He has not been sharp of late. But this is a guy who spent
arm fatigue.
This is a guy who spent most of the last 2 years as the number one high leverage reliever on the team, and he's not even on the World Series roster. Mm. Gratterall's back. one of my favorite players in all of baseball, Brett. That guy looks like he's just throwing a piece of paper in the garbage, like a very easy motion, and then the radar gun says 103. Like, it's, I mean, it's insane what Bryson Ogundogar Gratterall can do, and I love that he's back. Love that Rojas is back and healthy. That's a guy who it's useful to have in a ninth inning. Bill, you could see a Miguel Rojas being useful in a defensive situation at the end, a pinch hit situation. Well,
he's the kind of guy that too could be one of those out of nowhere series.
A walk off home run from Miguel Rojas or something like that could be in the cards or something. No, I get what you're saying, and I'm feeling pretty good if you can get it to 2-0 going back.
Need
to
win this one tonight.
This feels like it's going 6 or 7. So if the Dodgers win 1 or 2 in LA, yeah. I will not be panicked.
I'm predicting Betts is going to keep hitting the ball. That's what the Dodgers need Betts to hit, and Ohtani will hit. So all right, y'all have a great evening, and Dan, stay away from the bar. See ya.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah, I'm on the other side. From you guys in this one, so
it's Dodger Dan and the Cam Yankees.
That's right. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, and that's where we're coming to you from here on the Friday Drive. We'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us.
Remember when you
drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, and Don coming to you from Sky Bar. Of course, the sponsor of the Drive Hotline. Now, they're not open. Now, they'll be opening. Doors going to open at 7 o'clock tonight for the Halloween contest, the Halloween costume contest. Got trivia from 7 till 9 tonight.
One of two Halloween costume contests they're going to do. They're going to do another one Thursday. Halloween night. Thanksgiving. Thursday. It's because Halloween's on a Thursday. Upcoming Thursday. It's not always on a Thursday. Thursday the 31st, they're doing a Halloween party with a costume contest. They're also doing one tonight. Doors tonight at 7 o'clock, specials until 9, trivia until 9. Registration for the contest is 8 to 11. They'll have, I think the station we've commandeered here up front at Sky Bar. This is the table where people will be signing up.
Oh yeah.
For the
I see the registrations and
This is where midnight is where the contest officially gets going. First place wins a $600 prize. There's going to be cash for all the way up to 10th place in tonight's prize, tonight's contest, same as Thursday. And they go out and they find the best judges they can for something like this, and so
sure,
the most qualified and
you have capable experience on the resume.
We'll go to the scorecards and we'll see who
hold them up like the Olympics.
Oh, you know, I'll nominate that.
Maybe they can do that.
I might make it 10. Right. I might make it 10 myself. Yeah.
And Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn, and we are at Sky Bar here on the Friday Drive. And let's head to the Drive Hotline and call in our good friend Barrett Salee joining us here on this Friday. Hey, Barrett, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Y'all are sitting there at Sky Bar, man. I have great memories of that place, including one time where I got hypnotized and pretended to shoot a quail. True story.
I would have loved to have seen that, Barrett.
It's too bad the hypnotist never snapped you out of it. Barrett, that's the one bummer.
That was right on the tee for you, Dan, and you knocked that park. There for you.
Barrett, you may have been – we were talking about some of the history of this location. Was the movie pub gone when you first came into town?
The movie pub was gone, but I did know it. But, yes, it was gone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a shame. But
Skybar coming up on the, we could start the celebration right now. I think after Halloween, start the celebration. 20th anniversary of Sky Bar.
How about that?
20-year celebration coming up in 2025. So Barrett, we'll have to have you down here to help commemorate it at some point during during the year.
Hey, you know what? If it's free, it's for me, Dan. You know how I roll.
We hear you, Barrett. Hey, quickly, some thoughts on last week. Georgia, huge win in Austin. Tennessee over Alabama. I mean, a couple of games that have now got us set up for this week where the only two unbeaten teams in conference play are LSU and A&M.
Yeah, like we all expected before the season, right?
Yeah,
like we all pointed at this game as the, not Alabama, Georgia, or Georgia Tech. We all knew this was going to be the most important game in the SEC. But, yeah, I mean, like, man, with Georgia last week, that defensive front is just so scary. The thing about it, though, and I know I don't want to be like Debbie Downer with the Bulldogs, but the offense still was pretty darn bad. I mean, Carson Beck has turned into a pick machine the last 3 weeks. You know, so having a defense play the way they did obviously covers a lot of flaws, but there still are flaws on that team that, you know, kind of maybe got disguised by the hype a little bit. And, you know, I think with Alabama and Tennessee, man, Alabama is really, really average, like remarkably average. And, you know, we talked about this a lot, you know, how undisciplined they've been throughout the course of the season. And then they get 15 penalties and, you know, commit some really, really dumb penalties towards the end of the game that really cost them. You know, it's just more of the same. And then for Kalen DeBoer to have to come out this week and say they're going to go back to the basics and focus on the small things like getting some meetings on time, I'm sitting there going, man, Nick Saban might actually murder somebody for not getting to a meeting on time. Like, and they're arriving late now? Like, what? What is this? Where is the old Alabama? And you know, it's not just a one-time thing. It's been the story of the season.
I'd be interested to know how much of that is coming from players who were already on the team when Kalen DeBoer arrived, and how much of that is from players that Kalen DeBoer went out and personally brought into the Alabama program. It's not good either way.
No,
but it feels like you know what one would be a problem of a clash of cultures between. You know, it's almost, students not respecting the substitute teacher, right? And the other one would be, you went out and brought these guys in. You thought they were the answer, and they're the ones showing up late to meetings, and they're the ones. I mean, I guess in the case of Ryan Williams, that's a Hugh Freeze signee out there, or that's a Kalen DeBoer signee doing the, you know, practicing his jump shot during a crucial fourth and short moment.
Yeah, I mean, that. Think about what would happen if that was Saban. Like, and then Kalen to come out and say, well, they've done everything, or I guess it wasn't Kalen, I guess it was the offensive coordinator who came out, Nick Sheridan, and said, well, they're doing everything that they've been taught or been coached.
Right.
I'm sitting there going, if they're being coached to fake jump shots on fourth and one in big games on the road in the SEC where you could easily fumble the ball and have to turn around and go make a tackle, then something's really, really wrong.
Yeah, who coached him to do that? Nate Oates? Like, who's, I mean, what's, who,
exactly,
whose idea
right?
Well,
maybe it's a basketball school now. It's a basketball school now. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like, I can't imagine any of that stuff happening under Nick Saban.
No.
You know, like you said, like, if this is, you know, new kids versus old kids in terms of who's missing meetings, it's like, that's almost worse, right? If the veteran leaders can't snap the young kids in line and the coaches aren't going to do it, then what's the future of the program? Because it's certainly not good.
Well, it sure appears that, I mean, Alabama's got an opportunity to get back on track against a beat-up Missouri team. Man, they've only had one loss this season, but I keep wondering, you know, how are they doing it? You know, we're here talking about Auburn should have been able to win this ball game or the other ball game, and last week's no exception. They felt like they had that one and lost it again. But I knew after we saw Brady Cook come into the ball game, Auburn was in trouble. But I also felt like he's probably not going to be able to go tomorrow, much less next week. Now he's out. I mean, they're a beat-up team as they head to Tuscaloosa. This had better be a bounce back for Alabama, because if they struggle, I mean, not if they lose, if they even struggle against Missouri, then they are exactly what you said, just more of an average team.
Yeah, and Noel's out too, so like that offense is just, I mean, they shouldn't be able to do much, right? Like, they shouldn't be able to get to 17, 20 points unless Alabama makes some crucial mistakes, which is not a big if at this point. But, yeah, I mean, I think with all those injuries and being a 17-point underdog, Missouri keeping this close would be a massive, massive indictment of Kalen yep. DeBoer's program, because it's one thing to lose to a rival at their place when you, and you don't look crisp. You know, if it's a one-off, then it's tolerable. But when you combine it with the loss to Vandy and the close call against South Carolina and the South Florida game, you know, this is it's all starting to, you know, fall in line with what is an average program, an average team. So it would be stunning to see the reaction. I mean, I'm not a glutton for punishment, but I'm all here for content. If they only beat Missouri by a touchdown, I mean, the meltdown that would occur in Tuscaloosa is just going to be remarkable.
I think Texas is considerably better than Vanderbilt, but Vanderbilt has shown absolutely no fear this year in these situations, and I do wonder exactly what's going on at quarterback there with the Texas Longhorns after they really struggled to get anything going offensively, especially in that first half against Georgia, and they really struggled to block Georgia.
Yeah, they did. That's the biggest thing, is they couldn't block Georgia. I mean, I don't think any quarterback could have had success back there with the way that crew was getting after it. So, I'm not going to doubt Vandy. Like, I'm just not going to sit there and say, oh, it's the real Vandy is going to show up. Well, Vandy's like three plays away from being undefeated. So the real Vandy might actually be pretty darn good. So, but for Texas, you know, I think the bounce back game is something that is kind of Sark's specialty. You look at historically how he's operated while he's at Texas. And you saw the one sort of wart pop up, and that is the offensive line. But the offensive line still talented. It just didn't play well together. I mean, I think individually there's still a ton of talent. You fix that problem. But there's not many teams on the planet that can bring the pressure like Georgia does. So unless Vandy suddenly finds Michael Williams just hidden in their locker room, I mean, I don't think Texas is going to have much of a problem with Vandy. I love Vanderbilt. I think it's a great story. And if they get to 8-9 wins, that's fantastic. I just don't think it's going to be this one, because I just think Texas, from a matchup standpoint, matches up well.
Yeah, I just think Texas is way, way more talented. And Diego Pavi is only playing offense, as far as I know of, tomorrow.
Yes.
But I'll say this. If they win, who cares? I'm glad they don't have netting put up if they were to be able to win. All for Vandy, you know, taking another set of goalposts.
Yeah, throw the whole stadium in the exactly. Throw the whole stadium in the river
really?
At that point.
That's right. That's right.
The basketball gym too. Just
grab
pick
those guys that are back.
They really could. That place. You talk about a place that could use some. Yeah. All right. We mentioned LSU A&M. Hey, it's the winner here is in great shape, and I don't think the loser is in bad shape.
What do you think of that take, Barrett? Two playoff teams, LSU and A&M.
I don't think it's that crazy at all. I mean, I said on my podcast that I think the winner of that game goes to the SEC championship game, and it could be a rematch. Because Texas A&M schedule is pretty easy, right, from here on out.
It is.
South Carolina is the toughest road game, and then Texas is the toughest game, and that's at Kyle Field. So if A&M loses and finishes with one loss, and it's to LSU, we don't need to go down the entire tiebreaker list, which is is comparable to Homer's.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour show.
Yeah, we spent most of the show just looking at that the other day.
Can't do it, Barrett.
I did that last night, and I just gave up. I'm like, hey, I need a drink. I can't deal with this. This is too much. But, a one-loss A&M team with a loss to LSU, I think, would probably get in. And I wouldn't be surprised if both of those teams make the playoffs. They're both, both getting better. I think LSU more than Texas A&M. And I think LSU gets the job done. Their defense is playing better, progressively throughout the course of the season. And Nussmeier, if Dylan Sampson didn't exist, I would say Garrett Nussmeier is probably your midseason SEC Offensive Player of the Year. But, you know, in LSU, I kind of liken them to Clemson. You know, lost early in week one, bad out of conference game, and then kind of figuring out their identity as the season goes on and kind of peaking at the right time, and I think that'll continue to happen.
Yeah, it's funny. I've heard some LSU folks talking about, you know, just remembering not too long ago when they were struggling to find a quarterback that could complete 50% of his passes. They're on a pretty good run here, quarterback-wise.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there's no doubt. Far cry from the Jarrett Lee day.
Yeah, no kid. Or the Jeffersons, I mean, my goodness. Yeah. well, got to get your thoughts on, boy, what should be a real thriller. I mean, is anybody going to get close to 20 points? I see some people picking, you know, 12 to 10 for Auburn and Kentucky. It's two offenses that are really, really struggling. Auburn moves the ball. They just can't score. Kentucky doesn't even move the ball that much. And then they've been playing okay until last week when they go to Gainesville and just absolutely get torched by DJ Lagway and company.
Yeah, like I can't trust Auburn. I just can't.
I'm with you with the
teams that average over 5.5 yards per play and stop under with, you know, defense under 5 yards per play. There's a reason only one of those teams is out of the playoff hunt and 2-5, and that's because Auburn can't hold on to the football. And, you know, I know you can say ifs, ands, whatever. You can take certain, you know, aspects out of any team and try to, you know, explain it away. But, you know, your DNA is your DNA. And I just, until Auburn shows that they can, you know, take care of the football, I'm not going to trust them. So, I mean, I think Kentucky gets the job done. I would never bet on this game. It's going to be one of the ugliest games I've ever seen. But again, at the same time, I keep thinking, like, Auburn's going to mess around and go just absolutely kill somebody one week. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be this week.
It feels like it. Never bet it. Feels like they should. Yeah.
Like they should, right. Like, it's just it's kind of a remarkable season when you look at it, how well they've played in some areas and still found ways to lose in just dramatic, tragic fashion.
It's interesting you said you'd never bet it, because that, like, Auburn profiles like a team that goes into November where the underlying stats tell you they're better than their record, which is, you know, which is a team you can sometimes find value in gambling. The problem is that there's, I think it's Coach. Sorry, I was getting a little feedback there. But the problem is, when you can't hold on to leads, how do you feel good about, you know, where a team's going to be at the end of a game?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's got to be. I know for me, being, you know, on the outside looking in, it's frustrating. You know, going up and going to Auburn, I'm like, good Lord, this has got to be just tearing people up inside that athletic department.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. Barrett, before we let you go, what are you thinking of the series? Gets underway tonight.
I hope that somehow they forget that they're supposed to play it and both teams get lost and the season just stops. I don't want to see either one of those teams win the World Series.
I sort of felt that you weren't really pulling for anybody here in this one.
I want Freddie Freeman to play well.
All right, well, that's good. Dan's on your side.
I'll take it, yeah. No, I mean,
Dodger Dan.
If there was a team that was easier to cheer for, you know, from the American, I know they're you're either a Yankees fan or you're not. It's not like, you know, now the Yankees, I'm going to root for them. You know, if it was somebody who hadn't won in a very long time, you know, maybe there'd be a little bit.
Dean's long enough.
Yeah, but you're not the Guardians, right? Like, you're not the Mariners.
No.
You know, so it's like, I mean, there's teams, the Brewers, right? So it's like, I mean, if it was a team
Brewers
like that.
Nationally,
yeah, they can't be there. But it's, the fact that we got stars, you know, I'm excited about, and yeah, I'm hoping some of these Dodger guys can wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm all for Freddie having some fun, and if Freddie wins, then I'm happy.
All right, Barrett, what all have you got going? Let everybody know, you know, what you have and where, of course, they can find it.
Yeah, picks are up on OutKick right now. Have a new episode of College Football Smothering coverage. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Colorado might actually make a bowl game, and they might clinch it this weekend, which is just unbelievable to me. So that's up there on College Football Smothered and Covered YouTube page and Apple and Spotify. And then SiriusXM on Sunday morning, recapping all of the craziness that's about to happen tomorrow, I'm sure.
We will check it all out, Barrett. Thanks a lot, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, y'all too.
All right, Barrett Salih joining us as he does Friday afternoons. We'll get to our next break. Reopen up the phone lines. The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn coming to you from Sky Bar here downtown Auburn, where they've got big goings on tonight, the first of their two Halloween costume contests. And then, you know, it's Friday night.
Yeah.
It's going to be going on here at Sky Bar, always is. So, we're glad to be here, courtesy of Bud Light.
Yeah, thanks again to Bud Light. They've been helping set us up at a couple of spots downtown. We were at the Supper Club earlier this month. We were at over at Bunkers. You know, we've had a lot of fun courtesy of Bud Light. So appreciate that they've been recommending a couple spots for us. And we are here at Sky Bar. Big weekend. They'll have the World Series on tonight on the screens. They'll have the costume contest going on. College football all day tomorrow as well. And they're going to be open, I think, around 6 o'clock tomorrow. So if you're looking for somewhere to watch Auburn, Kentucky, Sky Bar will have its doors open for the entire game. And then I'm sure the party will be going on well into the evening.
Yeah, we'd love for you to join us on the Drive Hotline. Give us your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports. If you want to talk a little series, that's fine. College football. Hey, we're right on the cusp of college basketball as well. Auburn basketball will debut Sunday in Greenville against Furman, and they will not have the services of Miles Kelly, as Bruce Pearl told the media yesterday that he's still suffering from an illness that prevented him from participating in the tip-off at Tumors. So that's going to that could give opportunities to some other folks. I mean, I would think Ja'Kai Howard's the guy who probably benefits the most there on the wing from Miles Kelly not being there. That also sort of extended a little bit farther is exactly how's Auburn going to handle the guard positions, you know, at the one with J.P. Pegues. You know, Dan, we've been hearing an awful lot about Denver Jones at the point, but it seems like over the last week or so, J.P. Pegues has really stepped it up. And I think that's something Bruce Pearl was looking forward to, because that's why he was brought in as an established, proven point guard at the D1 level.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, that we're going to have an answer on J.P. Pegues until, you know, well into the season, right, as far as how he fits in and, you know, whether or not they're seriously considering playing Denver like a starting point guard, or if it's, you know, going to be a real mixture of the two, or if J.P. is going to have starters minutes like he's had the last couple of seasons. You know, how does he fit in? How does the offense look when J.P. Pegues at the helm? How does the offense look when Denver Jones is at the helm? I imagine it's got to be really tough for a veteran point guard to step in and you know, slide into a team that has returning players who are experienced playing with each other at all these different roles. So it'll be it'll be an adjustment for the team. It'll be an adjustment for J.P.
Yeah, and he'll get a chance to play against a lot of his former teammates this coming Sunday in that exhibition opener. But, you'd figure Chad Baker-Mazar is going to be your guy now out there at the wing as well, at the three. You'd figure this would make it much more likely you'll see J.P., Denver, and Chad a good bit, at least in the opener on Sunday. 334-321-1390. I tell you what, we'll go ahead and get caught up. We'll get to our final break here of hour number one. Love to hear your thoughts on anything going on in the world of sports as we continue with the Friday Drive from Skybar.
Achilles tendonitis is often as painful as it sounds. The Orthopedic Clinic is here to help get you back on your feet.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final segment of hour number one here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn coming to you from Sky Bar here downtown. And, again, doors aren't going to open until 7 o'clock, so we've had a couple of people, you know, going, oh, I see folks in there and coming in, but they're not open yet. So just keep that in mind. Well, we'd love to hear from you.
What's the plan for the exhibition game on Sunday? No TV, no radio.
Now, there will be media there.
There will be media live tweeting, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to follow on social media what's going on. I wonder if they'll like stat broadcast or something like that may happen, because there will be people there on the scorer's table, I'm sure. So you may be able to keep up with what's going on. It's a shame we won't at least be able to hear the action.
Yeah, and the timing of the Auburn Kentucky game makes it very difficult. I know we talked to Andy earlier this week. He said he would have loved to turn around and call the game a day later, but the Auburn Kentucky game, I mean, they're not going to get done until.
What time is the?
Is it noon? Isn't a noon tip off on Sunday?
That's what makes it really tough.
Yeah, I think it's. For some reason, I want to say it's noon Sunday. I'll double check that. But it's. Yeah, I mean, you're seeing some exhibition games make it to different TV networks. I'm sure SEC Network already had a full slate of stuff on Sunday. They do volleyball and soccer and different things on Sunday. So they couldn't have shown the game. But it's too bad that there's not some way to watch. I mean, it's such an eagerly anticipated season, and you're gonna hear about how Auburn looked against Furman, but you're not gonna see it.
Yeah, I just wonder. I can't imagine it'd be really difficult for anybody covering the ball game in Lexington to be able to make it over there.
It's about a 6-hour drive. From Lexington to
so the game will be over. Game will be over 10:30.
But yeah, sure. about a 6-hour drive, and I think that's you would probably need to start your drive as soon as the game ends.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The game's not going to end before 10.
Get to Greenville, then start to do your work. Then I guess
I wonder if any of the roads from the flooding are
that's right. That very well could.
I think I-40 from Knoxville to Asheville is closed. I don't know.
Yeah, so that really could affect it. So yeah. I don't know. Hopefully we'll be able to keep up and have an idea of what's going on. I'm sure we'll get to see the stats at some point, but that at least is better than what we used to get with those quote secret unquote scrimmages.
Tip off at 1 p.m. Sunday, and I believe Greenville is in the Eastern time zone.
So they are Eastern time.
It's a noon Central tip. Tomorrow or a Sunday, if you're going to Auburn Furman in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, so that's coming up on Sunday. We'll take a look at the entire SEC football schedule in hour number two. Give you our thoughts on those games. Some of the other ball games going on around the country as well. We've talked a little bit about the World Series. We'd love your thoughts on any of these things going on. Again, a reminder: don't forget we've got high school football coming up tonight. On the AU Network family of stations on Wings 94.3, it's Auburn High School looking to wrap up a perfect regular season. What a year it's been thus far for Auburn High.
Yep.
And that'll be 6:30 with the pregame 7 o'clock kick against Dothan, and then over on AU 100, it's Lee Scott and BB Comer. Same times over on AU 100. This evening. So that's what's on tap for tonight here on as far as high school football is concerned. Again, we'll take a look at the Auburn game and the other SEC games and games around the country coming up.
So the arena where Auburn is playing on Sunday, that used to be the Bilo Center. It's hosted some NCAA tournament action. Now it's the Bonce Coors, I believe it's a hospital chain in South Carolina, North Carolina. it replaced the Greenville Memorial Auditorium. That was the final gig Leonard Skinner ever played was at the Greenville Memorial right. Auditorium. Jim Crockett Promotions used to run NWA every Friday night at the Greenville Auditorium. So that building was steeped in sports history. This is on the former site of that building is where Auburn's going to be playing on Sunday.
Oh, that's cool. Again, excited that basketball is about here. All right, so we'll get to our top of the hour break. We're halfway done here on the Friday Drive. Come on in and join us for hour number two as we continue from Skybar.
Production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. It is hour number two as we come to you from Skybar. Man, I tell you what, you just never know. I have more respect for Tommy than I've ever had, man. As this is one of the craziest things.
We're not going to say who did.
I absolutely am going to say what. I mean,
one of us dropped their phone.
You didn't intentionally do it, but no, Dan. As we're going to break, I felt a little thump, and Dan goes, "Oh."
Phone slides off the table and falls and bounces off the floor once.
Right between
the floorboards.
The floorboards. And underneath this raised area here in Skybar.
And sure enough, our man Tommy.
Tommy has come in with
the highly capable staff here at Skybar ready to make some adjustments and rescue the phone and salvage the floorboard.
He cuts the board, cuts the floorboard, and is able to retrieve the phone for
in
Dan.
5 minutes.
Yeah, man. That was about 2 minutes. Less than 2 minutes. Because he goes, how much time do we have? And I'm thinking, hey, Dan doesn't have to have the phone when we come back.
No.
He was saying that because of the saw.
No, but we really appreciate
absolutely.
Yeah, really appreciate the work Tommy and everybody. Not just in emergencies, but also just in general whenever we're on
that's
location.
That's going to need to be reattached.
Here at Skybar.
Or that could be a problem.
That might wait until we're done though, depending on what
wait till
he wants
the break. Dan can nail that in during the break.
Hey, grab me a
I mean, he should at least do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I will not fall through. Your foot
would not fit in that.
Yeah, I think we're okay. Yeah.
You see the size? Look at the size of those.
Big foot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Skybar costume contest tonight. 8 to 11, the sign up. Getting started at midnight in the back. You can sign up here in the front. One of two costume contests they're going
to
do.
Sign up right here next to the sawdust.
Yeah, an Auburn Halloween tradition. And you're not going to want to miss it tonight or Thursday night next week. Skybar Halloween. It's going to be a really good time. Sign up at the costume contest from 8 to 11. Costume contest gets started at midnight. Fabulous prizes for the top 10 in the costume contest.
It is hour number two of The Drive here on this Friday. Second hour of the show brought to you, as always, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care. With locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We'd love for you to join us. Now, doors don't open here at Skybar until 7, so I'd love for you to join us on the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar, and that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, in hour number one, we talked with Barrett Salee, got his thoughts on some of the ball games going on this weekend. And Dan, you know, he said something, even though I have I don't know why. I mean, I feel like Auburn's going to play well. Of course, they played well enough in some ball games. I've got a feeling that win is coming, but I couldn't do it in the picking contest. I could not pick. I said, look, I've been picking Auburn week after week after week, with the exception of the Georgia game. And sure, the fact that they probably should have won most of those ball games has got me picking the other way. But I just have a feeling Auburn's going to play better tomorrow.
Yeah, and I've picked Auburn in four of their five SEC losses, or their major conference losses this year. So maybe I don't have a feel for what's going to happen. Although I would argue Auburn played good enough to win in four of their five SEC losses and just couldn't finish the job. If Auburn were facing a team I felt better about, I would pick Auburn to lose. After the way we've seen lately.
Yeah.
I worry that the wheels are coming off Kentucky after the way they played last week.
It looks like more of the case for them than it does really for Auburn, at least thus far.
Yeah, I think it's crucial I think Auburn's got to get they got to get enough out of the offense. And it's not one position, although if you want to point to the passing offense, the offensive line, the quarterback, the receivers, like they've got to get enough out of that group to give the defense a position to, it can't be a situation where the defense is always out there because the offense can't stay on the field. It can't be a situation where the Auburn offense has to abandon their plan because Kentucky's off to a fast start. If Auburn stays on schedule, plays their game, I think they're a better team than Kentucky, and I think they could not just win this game, but if they get the offense going early, like they could run away from Kentucky a little bit if they can get off to a fast start and play well. We haven't seen Auburn do that in any of their major conference games, so it's hard to predict that's what they're going to do. But I would not be optimistic about Kentucky's chances in this game based on what we've seen from them lately.
No, I mean their offense has really, really struggled. Their best offensive player is out tomorrow. They're running back.
Both of these teams are 0-2 in their last two games. But Auburn's last two games, they're at Georgia.
Right.
It's 11 points with Auburn driving going into the fourth quarter. They're against Missouri leading by 14 in the second half, as opposed to Kentucky's last two games. Kentucky didn't lead for a second of the Vanderbilt game. And Florida scored 27 in the first half with the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And ended up putting up 40-plus in the swamp. So I think it's the recent trends, even though both teams are 0-2, those two games played out very differently, and Auburn was far more competitive and far sharper in both of those games. If they can continue that, I think they're in position to be a better team than Kentucky tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, and for both these teams, I mean, this is it's an absolute must-win. Somebody's season is going to, really be up against it. I mean, the possibility of even having a 500 season with a loss tomorrow is going to be very difficult for either team.
You guys were either 3-0 or 2-0 against Kentucky. We looked up the series when you were there.
We didn't play them a lot.
Didn't play them a lot.
No, that's the thing. Auburn's only played Kentucky 19 times over the last.
I think we beat them here
years.
And beat them there.
Yeah, I think 04 and 05. Yeah. You beat Kentucky up a couple of times. I mean, Kentucky's only beaten. We looked it up. I mean, Kentucky has lost. Kentucky's lost 18 of 19 in this series, dating back to the 1960s.
Stoops has never beaten Auburn.
The 09 victory, Joker Phillips beat Chizik in his first year. In 2009, that's Kentucky's only of the modern era.
Only win over Auburn since 1966.
I mean, if you feel comfortable calling, like, after 1970 the modern era of college football, like, Kentucky's beaten Auburn once in the modern era of college football.
Yeah, over the last 50-plus years.
Yeah, and it was year one of Gene Chizik back with, 15 years ago. So, same year the Yankees won the World Series. We'll see what Auburn, the World Series is probably going on when that game was played. That Yankees-Phillies World Series in 09 would have been going on at the same time as that Auburn-Kentucky game that Kentucky won, the only one Kentucky's won in this era. I wouldn't pick Auburn against a lot of teams in the SEC this week.
No.
But I can pick them against Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting is, and might as well go ahead and start looking at some of the other games, one of the early games tomorrow, not the earliest, but I'm seeing a lot of people that like Mississippi State against Arkansas. If Mississippi State is able to pull the upset over Arkansas, That would leave Auburn as the only SEC team without a conference win.
Shocking. Yeah, I mean, if at Mississippi State, you know, I think has safely been, just based on some of these scoring margins and some of the ineptitude. I know they played better lately.
They have. Last couple of ball games, they played better.
You know, it felt safe that they were at the bottom of the conference.
Yeah.
Couple of weeks ago, I don't know what kind of Arkansas your team. I think they thought they were going to be in that LSU game.
Until the very end.
And to get trounced at home like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a reminder that even an Arkansas team that's playing well as currently constructed is a couple levels behind a genuine SEC contender playing well,
mm-hmm.
and that's what LSU is right now. And they. I mean, you talk about Hugh Freeze, like, LSU is a team that beats Arkansas 9 out of 10 times.
Yes.
All right? You talked about Auburn being that team a couple weeks ago.
LSU does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, LSU is a team. And that's what the game looks like when you should beat a team 9 out of 10 times. And LSU, I mean, and look, LSU A&M's one of the games of the year.
It really is.
And, Coach, you're kind of football. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going, and not a word we use to describe a lot of football. It's going to be a violent football game.
Yes.
On Saturday. Like, LSU A&M is going to be, they'll throw the ball too, but those are good. I mean, you are going to see.
LSU definitely throws the ball.
You are going to see high-speed collisions when A&M and LSU are playing each other, and I can't wait.
That's going to be a good one. Sure is.
Yeah, now the first game of the day should not be much of a ball game at all. That is the 11 o'clock game. As Ole Miss hosts Oklahoma, and you talk about teams struggling offensively, Oklahoma is awful offensively now.
What do you make of Venables? Like, do you think he gets a season to fix this, or is
I think he does. I don't think they're going to make a move now. I think he's got to make some more changes. I mean, he got rid of his offensive coordinator last week. They'll probably. Expect him to bring in somebody to really, you know, get things going offensively next year. But it'll have to happen next year. But, I mean.
How long has he been there?
Is it year three or year four?
Yeah, this is just year three.
They were bad in year one, better in year two, and this is year three.
Yeah.
And they have tons of injuries with, receivers or something?
Yeah, their receivers have been hurt. You know, they went from their starting quarterback to the freshman who played – against Auburn, they've gone back now to Jackson Arnold.
It's just to be careful what you wish for situation because they really I remember hearing Oklahoma people thinking once we move on from Lincoln Riley, get someone who values defense.
Yeah, have somebody that knows something about defense.
Yeah, I don't think they've been better. You know, post Lincoln Riley. It's not like USC set the world on fire either.
Right.
But they have been better with Venables, so I imagine, and I think that just like with Auburn, I imagine the success at the Texas program is making it worse.
That is chapping them badly.
It'd be one thing if Texas was also struggling in year one in the SEC, but Texas playing as well as they've played, coupled with Oklahoma being a step behind, I wonder if cooler heads prevail. In that situation.
Oklahoma, like we talked about coming into the season, Oklahoma was a 10-win team a year ago. But this year, after Saturday, they're going to be 4-4. And who have they got? Their schedule is tougher, much tougher than Texas's was. They've got Maine. That'll get them 5-4. They go to Missouri. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows in that Oklahoma-Missouri game? They close out the season hosting Alabama and going to Baton Rouge. They're going to lose six games this year. I mean, the best they can do is 6-6 is the way it appears to me right now. Well, I don't know. I guess they could beat Alabama if Alabama falls apart. But I don't know how. I mean, Alabama would
know how this Oklahoma team is scoring.
Jalen Milroe will score more points than Oklahoma.
Bill, they should be winless. They should be winless in conference. Like Oklahoma.
You're right.
Oklahoma should be winning. I mean, it was a miracle to come back like they did against Auburn, and they didn't play well offensively in that game.
That's just a fluke.
I don't think they've got the horses this year, and they could be looking at losing their next four conference games.
And they're 4-3, and Auburn's 2-5.
Yeah.
Lucky bounce.
So, I mean, that is the first game of the day.
Sometimes, Coach, when the tennis ball hits the net, right? It's going to go straight up in the air, and you got no control over which side of the planet. And every single time for Auburn this year, it's not the only reason. Every time, you know, that ball goes up in the air, it does not land on the side Auburn wants it to land on this year. And that game is...
You're right.
It's one of those years, and you hate to see them.
When you have a great year, you've got to have a couple of times.
Yeah.
The ball's got to bounce
your
way.
You've got to have a guy jump on the center's back.
Yeah.
On an extra point.
Yeah. The 0-4 team caught a couple of breaks. Yeah. Maybe not everybody catches.
You know, sometimes you knock a fumble out and it stays in bounds all the way down the field. Yeah. You know, I mean, it is.
It's crazy.
It has not happened that way for Auburn this year. But I think this is a game
where
Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss just name the score against Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
They need to. I mean, because
Oklahoma has to play well early offensively or it's over.
Yeah.
Like, if Oklahoma starts this game with a couple of three and outs, you can turn it off.
Yeah, if they started with a couple of three and outs, it's 14-0.
Yeah, you can turn it off. You can go ahead and turn it off. So if they can fight through it and make something happen, you know, maybe they can keep this game longer. It's close, the more uncomfortable it is for Ole Miss. But if Oklahoma struggles offensively early, then you might as well check in on Frazier reruns or something, because this thing's finished.
Oh, you can be ready then for the start of the Arkansas-Mississippi State game.
Yeah.
That we were just talking about a little while. Do you think the State's got a shot?
I mean, you know what I'd be worried about? I'd be worried about how heartbroken Arkansas is.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be worried about...
I mean, I think State right now is... I mean, they're feeling better about the last couple of weeks and the way they're headed. They're looking to prove something. Arkansas, it's like, oh, well, they... Their hopes have been dashed. They thought things were much better a couple of weeks ago.
It's an early morning game, right?
11:45.
Like Casey and the Bat, right? There's no joy in Mudville.
Right.
There will be no joy
in Hogville.
No, there'll be no joy in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Like, as excited as they were at different points in the season,
early,
as excited as they were, you lose to State, and you were exactly where you worried you would be.
Right.
Because their next four ball games are. Ole Miss, Texas, they do get Louisiana Tech, and Missouri. So that's who they have to wrap up the season. They're looking at three more losses after Saturday if they lose to State.
Yeah, absolutely nightmarish.
Yep. Those are the early games. Tell you what, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in. Give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. It's Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here on the Friday Drive from Skybar.
Born and raised in Lee County, Samantha Copeland is
back on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and we are here at Skybar. And as we mentioned, it's courtesy of Bud Light. No, you can just stay back there. Courtesy of Bud Light. And speaking of which, Haley, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm back.
Yeah, yeah.
Third time, right?
Third time on the show. Yeah, we had you at Bunkers, and you popped into the supper club.
This is going to be the best one yet.
Excited to have you for a Halloween competition tonight at Sky Bar. Bud Light, always involved with Sky Bar. Has got cool stuff going on like that.
Yes, we are.
A lot going on this weekend, Halloween weekend. What do folks need to know about?
Well, it is spooky season. There's a lot of people already out there being very spooky in more ways than one. We obviously have the competition tonight for Sky Bar costume contest. I believe they're giving away $2,500 in prizes, mm-hmm. cash prizes.
All the way, you know, 1 through 10 in the top 10.
I believe it's all in ones, too. I think that's how they have it out.
That part is unconfirmed.
It's all in ones, I believe. That's what I heard on the streets. But, yeah, we have a lot of exciting things. I believe the competitions continue out throughout Halloween. They have their other one on Halloween night.
Thursday,
perfect. But, yeah, we're super excited to be involved, as always. I'm personally on the air today because I have some very special news.
Yeah. Okay, so Haley is, you know, we're going to have more events in November and stuff like that. And there's a special guest coming to visit Auburn. Haley, go ahead and tell folks about what's going on in the near future.
Yeah. So I don't know about any of you, but I grew up a major wrestling fan. My dad watched it, brother watched it. You know, we made our living rooms into wrestling rings, and we actually have a celebrity coming to town. If anybody knows who Hulk Hogan is,
if anybody does,
a household
yeah,
name.
If you don't know who Hulk Hogan is,
yeah, tell you something, dude.
Then, then I don't know what you're doing, brother. But you need to get with it. He is going to be at Skybar November 7th.
Wow.
Yes, we are converting the back boom boom room, as they call it, into a Hulk Hogan festive night. He's going to be here signing autographs. He's launching his beer, the Real American beer, which is delicious.
In the Hulkamania Lounge there.
Yeah,
in the,
Hulkamania Lounge. I like that.
Yeah,
that has a ring to it.
You can use it, brother.
Yeah, the real Hulk American hoedown, because I believe that same night they're doing their hoedown throwdown. So we'll get our Hulk festivities in. They're going to do their hoedown throwdown that night, and it's going to be pretty epic.
Yeah, that, no kidding. So that's the 7th. That'll be a week from Thursday. Week from
November 7th. And then following that, we got Tyler Childers coming in on that weekend. So Hulk will be here, kick things off. Tyler Childers will follow him up, and
We've got the and of course you guys will be back on campus before the Vanderbilt game. Next Saturday.
Saturday the 2nd.
You're just reminding me of all these things on my calendar. It's very overwhelming, but on the 2nd, yes, we're back on campus. We have our Bud Light tailgate that's going to be taking place, which we have every single home football game. We take over the entire Plainsman Park parking lot. We have cornhole, food, ice cold beer, lounge areas. It's really great.
And want to also mention, because I know you guys were really excited about this last year, second year that beer will be available for purchase for Auburn basketball games at Neville Arena. That gets started a week from tonight, the exhibition against FAU. And I remember going to the exhibition last year and seeing the different kiosks.
Nice coolers.
And I imagine that was – how was that received? In year one, what was the response to
year one? You know, Auburn, they don't really need to necessarily advertise or push whenever they have different things like that. But I think a lot of people were very surprised when they walked to their normal, you know, cooler where they were getting water and soft drinks, and they saw, you know, some ice cold Michelob Ultra and Bud Light in there. And I think it was received really well. Sales were great. I think people like to have an ice cold adult beverage when they're sitting there watching a basketball matches.
Helps when there aren't very many empty seats in the
agree.
Arena as well, which is the case for Auburn men's basketball. I believe that there was news of, is it the 10th year in a row season tickets are sold out? Is that the, you know,
I believe that's right.
University put some sort of announcement out there about a 10th consecutive season of sellouts, and it's got to be pretty nice for the Michelob Ultra and the Bud Light folks.
It's great for us, and I'm honestly convinced. I think people they come for the basketball, but they really show up for Bruce Pearl.
Opinion. Oh, yeah. I mean, the basketball Bruce Pearl puts on the floor, it's indistinguishable from...
Yeah, unlike any other basketball that's been put on the floor here. So that has an awful lot to do with it. But yeah, that'll be great. That'll make for a fun weekend, starting with the exhibition game Friday and then back in town for football Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. But, I mean, just recapping our calendar of events that we have this weekend... Coming out to Skybar. We got our costume contest tonight. What else do we have at Skybar? We have Hulk Hogan coming on November 7th. Backtracking to November 2nd, we have our Bud Light tailgate happening in Plainsman Park parking lot. And exhibition game starting when?
That's a week from tonight.
That's Friday.
A week from tonight.
From tonight, Auburn FAU at Neville Arena getting started with basketball, yeah.
I need to get one of those calendars where you can physically write things out and just have it in my hand at all times. There's too much going on.
You're
going
to need like a giant dry erase board.
Yeah.
There's too many events. A calendar's not going to need.
See, I have one in my office at work, and I have one in my office at home, but I don't have one with me when I'm on the fly. That's what I need. I just need someone to follow me around with a dry erase board. This is what's going on in Auburn.
And again, we're thrilled.
That would look a little strange, but
maybe.
We're so thrilled to be able to go to some of these great places downtown, and it's all courtesy.
Yeah, we really appreciate
of the work you guys are doing there at Bud Light. So appreciate it.
Thank you guys. We always appreciate being on the air and being able to advocate for our brands and for all of our fun festivities that we do. So we're very appreciative as well.
Absolutely. Anytime. You're welcome. Anytime.
What are the best ways on social for people to keep up with what you guys have going on?
Honestly, we don't have a local social media, but if you do follow, you know, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, any of our major platforms, but from a local level, if you follow me, I post all of our events. So haley.m.hall, that's it, on Instagram. We post. We also have ambassadors that post things out, but we typically partner with our accounts. and they post out all of our fun events that we do.
Yeah, a lot of Halloween stuff going on this week. Mm-hmm. November, you know, always a busy time.
What are you going as?
You know, I have a couple of costumes in the mix. My Kevin James costume from last year was very good. I happened, if you remember
yeah,
a year ago.
It was like, how many of them were there?
Well, you know what? Remember that? I had the shirt. I had the shirt from that Kevin James meme. Now, I didn't have it to give, you know, for a costume. It just happened to be in my shirt rotation. And then I see the Kevin James meme with his hands in his pocket. I go, wait a minute. That gives me an idea. But, I'm tossing a couple of ideas around. I might go as when they turn Shrek into a human. In the second,
I like
in
this.
The second
so,
movies.
Are you going to be here tonight?
Oh yeah, no.
You're
contractually
judging
obligated.
It, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, interesting. I have a leg up in the competition? Then?
I mean,
He's got to work off the labor that was done.
Yeah, I've taken an oath. I can't. I can't really.
Oh, one of those secret Skybar oaths.
Yeah,
I've heard about those.
I've taken the Skybar oath. So I pledged my allegiance.
Right.
So, I will. I'll keep an eye out for you in the costume tonight.
Yeah, I'll be wearing exactly what I have on now.
you're going as me.
I'm going as me, Haley Hall.
That's great. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Haley.
Yeah, thanks again, Haley.
Yeah, thank you guys.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still a half an hour to go. Love for you to join in on the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. That's 334-321-1390. We're right back here on the Friday Drive.
I have an awful feeling about this, and I don't, you know, I don't want to be the one saying he shouldn't play, but I'm also glad I'm not in position where I need to be making the decision, because we were talking during the commercial break. There probably should be some pressure on the coach,
right,
as to whether or not you make a decision that this guy should be
be
out there.
Right. Yeah. It's tough, and that was brutal to watch that.
DeMar Hamlin hit that injured him. Yeah.
That wasn't just a guy getting his bell rung. He was seriously in trouble. And as a father, as a coach, I just don't feel good about it either.
Yeah.
And I know there's pressure, and he's a competitor. He wants to play. I hear some people talking about financially. I mean, he should be set for life.
Yeah.
Well, if he's –
he doesn't have to play.
Here's the thing. The thought that if Tua decided to end his career after that last concussion, the thought that he would have to fight financially for the rest of his contract – because it would be a personal choice rather than a doctor ending his career or something like that. To me, that would be maybe the money actually matters. But to me, the money that you would stand to gain as an organization by withholding it from Tua, you would lose that and so much more in the eyes of the public.
Yep. Oh yeah.
If you're
an organization.
Yeah,
because try to do that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, and so I certainly hope it's not financial. I certainly hope that it's more. You know, Tua Tagovailoa loves doing this and wants to keep doing it and can't imagine life without it. And that's, you know, I hope it works out, because, you know, I have this awful feeling. And what gives me concern is these hits. Now, the LSU hit that gave him the concussion that sort of prematurely ended his college football career, that was a big, brutal hit.
Right.
But some of these hits that are taken to out.
His head hitting the turf.
Yeah, but they feel routine until his head hits the turf, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
and that's
yeah.
And when you're getting hit on stuff that feels routine, like that's when you start to think, like, it's not about making changes to your game or sliding more or playing with a different helmet. That's a sign that this might not be for you anymore, and it would be tragic, you know, for a guy to have his career ended that early. From something that people were worried about before he came into the league,
right?
You know, the injury that ended his college football
and
career.
You know, and the more we learn about the head injuries, you know, 25, 30 years ago, he'd have been back already. Unfortunately,
yeah.
But look at the guys that have passed on, way too young.
Coach, I was in Los Angeles when news broke that Junior Seau had taken his own
yes.
life.
I mean,
and that was a guy who was, I mean, he was Mr. Los Angeles.
He was Mr. Football.
Mr. Chard, yeah, Mr.
Yeah.
USC.
Yes.
Mr. Chard had done so, was so involved.
Great guy.
In charities and everything. And when that happened, and when he did it in a way that would have preserved his brain for inspection, for CTE, I mean, he was a young guy.
Yes.
I mean, to me, it's not something to play around with. And I hope it works out, but I have an awful feeling about Tua continuing his career.
I hope he retires. Go into coaching.
or whatever. But you can stay involved in it. I know it. I mean,
you don't think there's a school in Alabama that would hire Tua Tagovailoa as head coach right now, Bill?
Tonight.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. You absolutely don't.
There'd be a high school football coach.
He could be a head coach at somewhere in this state. There's no question about that.
Yeah, he could be. You know what? He could be a quarterback's coach for a school.
Yeah, he could be an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he could be an offensive. You know, there's probably some places. There's some. You know what? There might be some bowl subdivision schools in the state looking at two and
some
thinking,
closer than you think.
No, so I think there's. Yeah, I mean, and it would be tremendously disappointing in the sense that if his career ended now, he probably didn't come close to scratching the full potential of his career. But at the same time, in pursuit of that, if something tragic happens, especially now with this many warning signs, it's not as though it was a guy who was never had a history of an injury and something, and a big hit takes him out. When you've had this many near misses, when you've had this many, when you've dodged this many bullets already, I would be worried about staying in the bullet dodging business. It just would, you know,
you would hope there's somebody in that organization that's pulls him aside and says, "Hey, enough's enough."
Here's what you really hope. You hope there's not people in the organization saying, "Hey, man, we're 2-4."
Yeah.
Hey, we're 2-5. Get back out there.
Yeah.
If the Dolphins were 6-2, would Tua be playing this weekend?
Mm-mm.
Like if the backup quarterback had come in and played well, and it's like the thought that desperation to save a Miami Dolphins season or like Mike McDaniel.
Selfish.
Like, the thought that could be playing a role in Tua being out.
Sure hope not.
But,
yeah.
I mean, but
I know.
Yeah, would he be out there if they were 6-2? Like, I don't know if he'd still go out there if they were, I mean, and that's another reason that I have a, like, you know, like Han Solo. Like, I got a bad feeling.
Yeah.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, that's tough.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. We were looking at some of the SEC games. We got to the early games. The 2:30 game tomorrow is a really interesting game. Really interesting game. A Missouri team that, I mean, they're beat up.
Yep.
They are beat up, and you feel like, man, how are these guys 6-1 going in? No Brady Cook, no Noel running back.
How are they 1-0 this week? I think a lot of people are wondering.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, how can they compete in Tuscaloosa against an Alabama team that really needs to, they need to bounce back and show that they're not. Barrett Salee in the first hour said, hey, they're an average team. They need to show that they're not. If they don't handle Missouri with relative ease tomorrow, and it's hard to imagine how they won't. I mean,
Alabama has the best performance of either of these teams beating Georgia.
Yes,
in a major matchup, and even in that game, Alabama
first
had to,
half,
and so Alabama had to swallow us
from halftime of that ball game. It's been a big play to Ryan Williams is the only thing that's kept them from being, you know, right on the borderline of being winless.
It's been what a 28-0 run for Georgia, 35-0 run for. I mean, that sort of thing where it's like you're not gonna.
Yeah.
So I mean, even in the game where you played well. Yeah. You watch the other team. And how often do you win when the other team goes 28-0? Like you
not
you,
not.
I mean, I mean, I wonder if
very,
there's,
very.
I wonder if there's rarely. Ever. I wonder if there's ever been a game in Auburn history where the opponent had a 28-0 run and Auburn won the football game. Mm. Like I'd be curious to know if that is because I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Either.
Like a 28 zilcho. I mean, I can think of some 28-0 runs.
Think of some 21.
I can think of some
28 where Auburn may have.
But like Georgia. Georgia and the prayer Jordan Hare would have been a was that a 21-0 run for Georgia in the fourth quarter?
I believe it was.
Take the lead and then yes it was. Because I remember thinking when Auburn scores to make it 19 pending the extra point. I was watching that game in L.A. saying you kick the extra point. You go for two here because you make it because Georgia's not going to kick any field goals. You go for two, and Auburn kicks the extra point and goes up 20. And people are like, it won't matter at all. Like, yes, it will. Like,
could
matter.
Yeah. So I can't recall a 28 that Auburn won.
No, and so Alabama, even in the game they played well, they had to endure that. So, and then Missouri doesn't have a trademark performance in four games against major conference opponents, right?
No, they really don't. I mean, if everybody were healthy, I'd give Missouri a puncher's chance because of a healthy Brady Cook with a running game and Luther Burden and Theo Weiss. But Drew Pine. I mean, just
if Alabama
he was a pretty good quarterback at Notre Dame, but boy, he didn't look it last week against Auburn.
Alabama can't look good against a Missouri team without Brady Cook.
Yep.
On both sides of the ball, then yeah, you worry about how Alabama's going to beat Missouri. Sure.
Then how are they going to beat LSU?
How are they going to beat LSU? Yeah. I mean it's fair. I mean this is a like if Alabama can make the case at 10-2 that they belong in the college football playoff as an at large, but they have to do it, and they probably have to do it with some style points. Like they probably have to make the case that they are over. You know, they have to look like one of the best teams in college football.
They're 10-2. They've beaten LSU and Baton Rouge.
That's what I mean. They're going to have to do it. And they won Saturday.
Like yes.
Because you can't get there without a win against Missouri.
But just winning Saturday is going to make it hard to believe they're going to win in Baton Rouge. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone.
I don't know how many teams in college football I would pick to win in Baton Rouge right now.
No.
I wonder how many teams I'd be like if Oregon was at Baton Rouge this weekend.
I still wonder about LSU's secondary at times, but no, they're really playing well. Let's get to the phone before we get to our final break. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey guys, Dan. When you said the Han Solo reference, I remembered that.
Mitch is low, Drew.
Yeah, I can't hear him.
Can't hear me?
Yeah, no, we got you now.
There you go, Mitch. Thank you.
Okay. Your Han Solo reference reminded me that I saw Star Wars in the War Eagle Theater, which I guess is
right
now Skyball.
Wow. That's exactly right.
Wow.
I did not see Star Wars here. I saw some other things here that are best not talked about on 4 to 6.
Yeah, I've heard stories about that from my uncle, and you know who my uncle is.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the War Eagle Theater, and then I think after that, it became, I think you guys mentioned it earlier, kind of like a
movie pub.
Like a, yeah, movie pub where you could get pizza and beer and stuff like that. And then, like, in the early 90s, it was a different club. I don't remember the name. I remember going. And then, of course, in 94, I left the area to go on active duty. And I guess in 2005, it became Skybar. And so,
you had Blue Room and Dewey's in the period of the 90s. But, yeah, coming up on the 20th anniversary of Sky Bar here in downtown Auburn.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, I haven't been up there in a while. I've seen pictures and stuff, but I need to take like 2 days and just drive around the place.
Yeah, you will not recognize. You won't recognize a lot of it. I'm telling you, it's amazing what has changed just here in the last few years.
Right. I mean, it is. I mean, I remember when there was nothing but pastures on South College where Walmart is.
That is right.
And the Paces own like all of
from
that.
Supper Club in?
You mean like churches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, I mean, there was
pastures?
Nothing. There was
pastures.
Oh, pastures. Oh, pastures.
Cow
pastures.
Cows. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it definitely changed. So, but anyway, that's really all I had, you know, the whole Star Wars thing. And actually, back then, Star Wars was at the Village Theater, and I think it went to the Tiger, which used to be downtown, and then to the War Eagle. They just moved it around because it stayed in Auburn for months, which movies don't do that anymore. They stay in the theater for, what, like a month, and then they go to Netflix or DVD or whatever. But that was a different time back then. But where do you go, guys? I think we are going to beat Kentucky tomorrow. And Coach Dunn,
yes, sir.
Thanks for the barbecue advice again.
Okay, buddy, anytime.
Have a good weekend, Mitch. Appreciate the call.
Coach, you what's on the grill this weekend? You were telling us last.
Well, he's got family tonight. In
town. No, it's personal, but he's still. You're not just because you're not at work doesn't mean the grill's off.
Though. Oh no, it's going. It's going. No specials really. You know, we haven't had a home game in so long.
You said you were doing burgers. You told us that.
I'm going to go home. My son and his lovely wife are in town.
What's the correct thing to put? Like, what does Don want on his cheeseburger?
I just want cheese, mustard, and toasted bun.
All right. Okay.
Maybe a tomato. Okay. A fresh tomato.
Maybe a little
fresh.
Yes.
Yeah, fresh.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
I thought you were going to go full cheeseburger in paradise for me. I thought you were going to lettuce, lettuce and tomato.
Well, yeah.
I like
Jimmy Buffett.
The Heinz 57?
Yeah.
Nice, you know, nice tribute to Jimmy at the Rock and Roll Hall.
One of the only yes. I've had Pirate yeah. Looks at 40 stuck in my head all week.
Yeah.
Because of have you finally? Okay, I didn't want to spoil it earlier.
No, I watched the
okay,
whole thing.
So yeah, Dave Matthews did a cover of Pirate Looks at 40 at the Jimmy Buffett ceremony, the Hall of Fame ceremony over the
yeah.
weekend. I thought that was fantastic.
Now, it was.
He's done. I guess Jimmy Dave Matthews and Jack Johnson have done a. They've done a cover of that previously for something, so it's not. It wasn't.
Well, I didn't even realize that.
It was. Yeah, it wasn't the first time Dave Matthews had done that before. But yeah, his version is by himself with the guitar.
Oh, that was.
I thought it was gorgeous.
Very, very impressive. Just him and the guitar. I lean a little more to son of a sailor, just because.
Sure.
Because my dad was a ship's captain, so that made both of my boys sons of sailors.
It's the big eight. I recently learned about this. There are 8 Jimmy Buffett songs that he performed at virtually every concert he ever did after, you know, the mid-70s, uh-huh. late-70s. And Son of a Sailor's on there, Volcano, Finns, Cheeseburger and Margaritaville, obviously. Pirate Looks at 40, a couple other ones. But those are, like, I mean, yeah, so he's... And yeah, that's... I'm glad to see... And some folks that you know, made different kinds of music than Buffett, too, right? Like, I mean, James Taylor and Dave Matthews and something, you know, explaining, you know, the way he influenced them and...
what a poet he was.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah. Really cool.
All right, we need to get to our final break of the afternoon.
Should we mention he's got it's an Auburn tie, right?
Absolutely. It was from, I think from folks down might in South either. Alabama, and that's where he started school, was right here at Auburn. All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon.
Is that Auburn's for how many Auburn Rock and Roll Hall of Famers? Are there?
I don't know of any others.
I wonder how many Auburn Rock and Roll Hall of Famers there have
He's
ever
the
been.
Frank Thomas of rock and roll. All right, we'll be back to wrap things up here on the Friday
Drive. Build the statue.
From Skybar.